The first reading today, we hear something that is of just great mercy to all of us, and that is that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Now, in the context, he's talking about the Jewish people and the fact that they are the chosen people of God, and that even though they didn't accept the Lord Jesus, nonetheless, the call of God is irrevocable. And then he goes even further than that. And he talks about how the fact that we who are not Jewish have received mercy from God because of the disobedience of the Jewish people. And then it turns the other way, that they will receive mercy. He has delivered everyone over to disobedience in order that everyone can receive mercy. No one can point a finger at somebody else because we're all sinners, we're all disobedient to God. But this is also where the great consolation and hope of where we started today, the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. You are baptized into Jesus Christ. The fact that you are baptized, perhaps like many, you strayed for a while. Thanks be to God, he didn't say, "You loser, get away from me. I don't want anything to do with you. You forget it. You were baptized. You rejected it. I don't want anything to do with you." Nope. Praise be the Lord. His gifts and his call are irrevocable. You are his son or his daughter. You are called by him. And that is not going to change, ever. So his mercy is there always, no matter how badly we have strayed, no matter how foolish we have been. And so sometimes we can look at that with our children or our grandchildren and see what they're doing and recognize, but you know what? God's mercy is still there. And sometimes, as we all know for our own selves, it's only through our disobedience that we come to appreciate the mercy of God. We take it so for granted until we make an utter fool of ourselves, and then we realize this isn't something I can take for granted. If I got what I deserved, I know exactly where I would be. The only question is how deep I would be where I would deserve to be, but we all know where we would be. And we can't just say, "Oh, well, I'm not that big of a sinner, so it was easy for God to forgive me." Now, if we have that kind of an attitude, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall hard because you don't think that you can sin too bigly, too badly. Thankfully, God in his mercy will let us see that our sins are pretty big. Yeah, maybe they're not as big as that person or that one or whatever, so what? We've still offended God badly. We still deserve by our own actions to be cut off, removed, destroyed, and cast into hell for eternity. But God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. His mercy is there because we are disobedient. And this is where St. Paul, you can just see as he's writing, and suddenly he just pauses essentially and says, "Oh, the depths and of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How inscrutable his judgments, how unsearchable his ways." Instead of looking at it and saying, "You know what? You are so extraordinary. You have lived your faith so beautifully, so wonderfully, so perfectly, that therefore I'll have mercy on you." No, instead, it's the opposite. Because you are weak, because you are broken, because you have been disobedient, God will have mercy. What an amazing thing. But again, this is exactly what Scripture tells us, that God has clemency on all because he is all-powerful. And so, it is the showing of his power. The power in God is mercy and his love. Yes, he has power to do whatever he wants, and he chooses to love. And once again, how do we in our humanness really recognize that God loves us? When we've fallen flat on our face. Because otherwise, we know ourselves well enough. Oh, I did all these things perfectly, therefore God will love me. I earned it. I deserve it. Nope. It's because I fell flat on my face that God in his mercy picked me up, dusted me off, and loves me. Not because I am so wonderful, just the opposite. Because he is so wonderful. That's the part we have to recognize in our brokenness and in our sinfulness, that God loves us. Because we're weak and because we're broken and because we're sinful. He doesn't like our sins, obviously. But again, you probably know somebody who has a child who is perhaps mentally handicapped. Who's the one that the parents tend to dote on the most and love the most? The one who needs it the most. That beautiful child with those handicaps. So go home and look in the mirror and say, okay, who's the one who's handicapped? For some of us, yeah, it's mentally too, but we've got all of our problems. And so we go before the Lord and he says, yeah, you're my handicapped child. Guess who I'm going to give the most attention to? Guess who I'm going to love the most? Because of your weakness, because of your brokenness, not because you're so extraordinary. Otherwise, we're going to be like the Pharisee that said, oh, Lord, you are so lucky that you created me. I'm not like all these other people. Right. All I can say is, you're right. I'm not like all these other people. I'm worse than they are. But if we're worse than they are, then the mercy of God is even greater for us. Praise him. How amazing, how inscrutable his judgments and how unsearchable his ways, as St. Paul said. All we can do is just be so grateful and hopefully so humble, because we know the reason God is so merciful to us is because of our weakness. We have nothing to boast about. We have nothing to be arrogant about. But we can praise God for his mercy and for his love. That's what St. Paul is looking at, whether that's for the Jewish people or whether that's for us as individuals. It's all the same principle. And thanks be to God on our own behalf that his call and his gifts are irrevocable.